Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Wednesday, October 18th, 2023. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live or view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one enters the queue, we will continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you do have any questions, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Okay, let's begin with a prayer. Most Holy Gracious Father, we again very humbly approach thy throne of grace. We thank thee that we can study thy word that leads us more and more within thy will. We read of thy warnings concerning last days and pray that you open our eyes concerning the abomination of desolation that you have warned us about, in that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. We trust that you will continue opening our eyes and keep us in the grace and bless us as we continue to look into thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Let me try to get off of this. There we go. Okay, we left off last week. I think we're picking up in verse 39 of Matthew 24. So in Matthew 24, verse 39. So we'll just pick up in verse 37 as far as reading it a little bit. Yeah, 37. But as the days of Noah was, so shall also coming the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Okay, so clearly this is the picture of, the rapture. There is another picture that appears to be the rapture, but, it suggests something a little different. But I do believe that this is that referring to the end of the world. Of course, it refers to the coming of the Son of Man. And being in the field, of course, we saw that, Christ has taught us the meaning of the field. And the field is the world. One shall be taken, the other left. And the idea of grinding at the mill identifies ultimately with the bread of life. In other words, dealing with the gospel. Let's look into Luke chapter 17. At Luke 17, 36 through 37. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. So I'd like to make a note here. It seems like everything's going to be going along as normal. God tells us they're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're given in marriage, right up until the day that the flood comes and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought and sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetops and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take away, and he that is in the field, let him not likewise return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night There shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Okay, and the body ultimately identifies with the corporate church. We'll see other language like this where it talks about the carcass. Wherever the carcass is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And the eagles, we've looked into the eagles, they're false prophets. They're fowls, the fowls of the air, identifying with bringing forth a false gospel in the air, the place of conversation. They nest in the trees. Remember the parable that God gave us, that Jesus gave us, concerning the mustard seed. And when it grew up to be a large tree, the fowls of the air came and they nest in the branches. And the branches, again, identify with the believers, the body of believers. We did look at the housetops. The housetop identifies ultimately, you know, going up to the high places. It's the mountain. It's where we commune with God, where we come into prayer, talk with the Lord, and also sharing the gospel. So that's we've looked at that before. We've looked at the fields before, and as far as looking at a word study. And so again, where, Lord? And he said unto them, again, whithersoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. Okay, let's look at Luke 21, who also pipes in this. Luke chapter 21, the entire chapter, I believe, focuses in on what we're reading about in Matthew. I think Matthew is the most in-depth, but there's a lot of extra information we can get out of Luke and out of Mark. We've already seen that. But Luke 21, 34. And take heed to yourself, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering, indulging, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Okay, clearly this is identifying with the snare upon the whole world. The entire world is going to be snared in this. And again, we've read before, not a hair on your head shall be perished. We've read numerous times here, looking at the picture, that they'll be eating and drinking and marrying and giving a marriage. They'll be selling and buying. Everything's going to be normal. Everything's going to be normal. You know, right now we're coming to a time where it looks like we're heading into World War III. Matter of fact, World War III has already started in many different ways. But even in conflict, we see China making a move. We've seen Israel, problem in Israel. You know, we've seen what happened out in Maui, in Hawaii. I mean, something's strange out there, and I think that was part of what's going on today as far as wars around the world, fires, and so on and so forth. So that's what's happening out there in the nations, nation against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. We spoke about that also, how the kingdom of Satan has risen up against the kingdom of God. We see the wokeness and the destruction and the moralizing of our children, and it just goes on and on and on. And this has been going on for quite some time, but it's finally come to a head. And we're going to become very close to World War III. I'm already seeing a lot of false prophets, from my perspective, starting to teach a lot of strange things, even more so ever now that we've seen what's happening in Israel and so on and so forth. The Bible is concerned with the relationship between God and his people. It's always focused on the Lord's first coming or the second coming. And always through the entire Bible, every chapter, numerous times throughout in verses, you'll always see the gospel, the thread of the gospel going through. The Bible is all about God drawing his people to himself and also preparing us in our hearts and our minds for the end of the world. And we are in that generation. We are in that time period. We're at the end of the world. And we know this because of the fig tree, which we're going to develop some more as we continue to go on. Okay, so watch therefore. So there's the warning, watch therefore. And what's the nature of the Great Tribulation? False Christs and false prophets would lead astray even the very elect, rhetorical, if it were possible. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in that what watch, we're going to show you he comes in the morning watch, what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, I might change my opinion on that. That watch might be the midnight watch. The morning watch is the literal return of Christ. The midnight watch is to come out of her, my people. Okay, anyway, so that might be a better view of what God is talking about here. So anyway, the thief would come. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And now I'm kind of rethinking this, so it could be either one the morning or the evening or the midnight watch, because again, we have here the idea or the picture of the house being broken up, but we also have the idea of the hour. And God does speak about the hour of judgment, and we're going to get very deep into that when we get into Revelation. And so there's a period of time that God refers to as the hour of judgment. And he speaks of in 1 hour, you know, the harlot, the harlot's house. In 1 hour, she is made desolate. Okay, but we'll pick up more language on that later on when we actually get into the book of Revelation. Who then is the faithful and wise servant when his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Truly I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thessalonians chapter 5, let's take a look at that. Picking up in verse 1. But of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplates of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Okay, and we're going to look a little bit into Mark 13, and we read in verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. There's four watches. Least coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. Okay, before we move on a little more, I think I might want to go back and just take a quick look. You know what we're going to do? Before we move on, because right now I think we're going to get ready to go into the calendar and start looking at some things, because there's a lot of clues here, and we have to understand certain things. And one of the things we have to understand is that fig tree, okay, because that is the key. That is the sign How do you know, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? And it is that fig tree. And the fig tree is indeed national Israel going in leaf. Doesn't bring forth fruit, but goes into leaf. And after we finish our Book of Revelation study, maybe we'll look a little bit at Israel and what God's relationship with Israel today might be. Because he does speak more of those that are of Israel as being of, not necessarily the nation of Israel, but the bloodline of Israel, the Jews. Okay, I'd like to look into that. I've seen some interesting verses recently, and actually I've seen them many times, but it never woke me up the way it has recently. But we'll talk about that another time. Okay, so let's go back and just kind of breeze through. I'm going to stall a little bit at the fig tree, but we're going to kind of breeze through Matthew 24 again, just reading it straight out, maybe a little bit of a comment here or there. We've already looked at these words, so we're not going to go back and look at the words again as we continue on, but I'll give reference to the meanings of the words. And Jesus went out of the temple. Remember, Matthew 23 was leading into 24. 23, he departs. He says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And he left them. The house of God, which was the nation of Israel, is now desolate. Okay? And we're going to see, that the seven churches, we're going to begin reading in Revelation, the seven churches also, they're gone. They've been left desolate. They've gone apostate a long, long time ago. Seven churches of Asia. And many churches over the last 2,000 years have gone apostate. It's the constant battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. And the principalities identifying with ultimately the princes of the Old Testament being false gods and ultimately spirits of Satan, I would make that statement. We may look into that again in the future, get a little deeper on that. But anyway, principalities. Now, that identifies not only in the churches and the spiritual realms, because that's where the battle is. Satan desires to sit in the temple, to show himself that he is God, to be worshipped as God, to have the high place. And remember, he is prince and power of the air. He won by reason of conquest way back in the garden. Now he lost at the cross. His head was crushed by Christ, ultimately, the crucifixion. Michael crushes the head of Satan. So he's actually a defeated foe, but he's loosed for a while and loosed for a season. Especially at the end of the world, he gets loosed even stronger. So there's a lot of strong deception going on in this world, spiritually speaking, a lot of it. And it's from many, many different angles and perspectives. But also there is the principalities that's ruling ultimately at the national level as far as nations are concerned. And we've seen this. We know that there's the New World Order out there. They've been around for thousands of years. Men have been trying to take over the whole world. And today, of course, there's a great opportunity, they think, for this because of technology. And we're very close to that kind of thing happening, but it's not going to happen. The Bible is clear, and from my perspective, it's not going to happen. But that could be, and probably is, a part, I know it is, part of the strong delusion. Because you'll hear these people bring these issues up. They'll read the book of Revelation. First, they'll read the newspaper. Then they'll go back to the book of Revelation, pull out some verses, and then teach it as if that's the gospel. And they never get around to the gospel anyway, and they never get around to the salt. But it's all just a distortment and just drawing people after themselves. Okay, anyway, let's get back into this Matthew 24 now. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Just picked up at the end of Matthew 23, he went out, departed from the temple. And his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings and the temple of the temple. And we saw that the buildings are identifying ultimately with the body of Christ, and the temple is the body of Christ too. It's a picture, the body is the temple, and the buildings are living stones built up for a dwelling place. So we're seeing the picture, I think, in two ways. We're seeing it in an individual way, our bodies being our temple, and we're seeing the buildings in the Greek word that we've looked at is oikodome, the building up, the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. And that takes place through the whole New Testament era. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And that is the building that will not be destroyed. And Jesus said unto them, see ye all these things? Truly I say unto thee, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now this is talking about the end of the world, by the way, and it is not talking about the day after his departing out of the temple and them being left desolate. But there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that's the living stones in the church, apostasy, the nature of the great tribulation, false prophets and false teachers. So not one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. To sit is to rule or to judge. And his disciples came unto him privily, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christian, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Remember, we are the body of Christ. If you're born again, you're part of the body of Christ. And they come, the false prophets, building with another Jesus, another gospel, distorting the word of God, having Bibles in their hands, and claiming they're that the Christians, that Christ is in us. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He is Christ. We have it. So many shall say, you know, and deceive many. And he says you can tell them by their fruits. Okay? So are they bearing fruits or are they not bearing fruits? Are they staying to the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept? Or are they given a private interpretation? Because the Bible says that the Bible is not open for any private interpretation. I can't read the word of God and interpret it out of my own mind. I have to go back to the word of God and let the word of God interpret it for me. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And see ye that ye not be troubled. And since World War II, I believe we come up, I think it was 258 wars. We had brought that number up before. It's somewhere around there. 258 wars have been fought since Israel became a nation, since World War II. And today, there seems to be wars breaking up all over the place. China is ready to go into Taiwan. We see what's going on, of course, with Russia and Israel. And there's a lot of focus on Israel, a lot of people talking and, you know, and things are starting to build up. So we see all this. This is happening. God is pointing out in the world there's problems out there, world and the nations. But kingdom against kingdom also. And again, I spoke about that many times. You know, again, the woke movement, the demoralizing of our children, all this smut that goes on. And yet, you know what's really disturbing to me is when you listen to a lot of people who are trying to do something right, and they're out there on podcasts, and outside the Bible at this moment, but they're out there on podcasts. But on the other side, we're not outside. Because they demoralize themselves by the language they use. That F word is flown around all over the place. And they seem like good people, and they claim to be Christians, and they're doing the right thing. But that word seems to come up in many other words, and it demoralizes them. But that's where we're at. You know, people are lost in a lost world here. Okay, so nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilence. Do we know the famines will be a famine of hearing the word of God? That's the famine. It's a spiritual picture. It's a spiritual famine. Pestilence and the earthquakes. The pestilence are plagues, and the plagues identify with false prophets and false teachers bringing in all of these poisonous gospels. And then the earthquakes in various places, that's ultimately not one stone left upon another. Because what does an earthquake do? It knocks down buildings. And here we have body of Christ is building up, edifying the body. And when a church starts to go apostate, the stones in the picture here is the earthquake. The stones are knocked down, not one stone upon another. And this is a judgment from God upon the false prophets and the false teachers. It's not against the people. The Great Tribulation, although we're in the Great Tribulation, or were in the Great Tribulation for a period of time, we come out. Those days are short, and we come out of that. But the church continues under the judgment of God. And that's where, the earthquake causes that to come down, but that's a judgment from God. And the judgment is upon the false prophets and the false teachers, those who claim to be Christians and are not. Earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now remember this, the beginning of sorrows is a period of time. We're going to identify that later. But the beginning of sorrows is a period of time. And it's a period of time after 40 years after Israel as a nation. And we'll get into those details as we're looking at the calendar. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sakes. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The candle will go out. It will wax cold. The light of the gospel will go out in those places. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. And we know that's been happening for quite some time. And there's plenty of ministries out there that were teaching the true gospel and, going through the airwaves and, internet, and it's all over the place. So the gospel has gone out into the whole all nations. And of course, many good churches that were true to the word of God over throughout the church age, of course, had been bringing the gospel to all the corners of the earth. So anyway, then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, or stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. And we're going to get deeper into that, the abomination of desolation. And that is the key. That is when Satan takes a seat in the temple. That's the abomination of desolation. We're going to look into that in the book of Daniel when we get to that. But there shall be not a hair of your head perish. In other words, these are not physical wars that's being spoken about. This is not destruction in a physical way. This is a spiritual picture. The destruction, Satan's destruction upon the corporate body and overtaking the saints. We're going to read about that in Revelation also, overtaking the saints. and then taking a seat in the temple, being showing himself that he is God and to be worshipped as God. Okay, continue in Matthew. Then let them be that be in Judea, flee into the mountains. Judea has two meanings, we saw. Judea could be the corporate church, or it could be the spiritual body. I think in this particular picture, it's probably focusing in on the corporate church. Then let them who are in the corporate body, when they see the abomination of desolation, flee into the mountains. The mountains is the high place. Go to your Bible. Continue Bible studies. Continue bringing the gospel out into the world. Continue doing the work. Occupy until he comes. To the very we don't know when the Lord's going to come, so we need to occupy until he comes. Whatever you should be doing, you should be doing. Let him which is in the housetops not come down to take anything. And we saw that the word anything, ultimately, more often than not, is interpreted as any man. Don't take any man out of this house. In other words, we're not going to go back to convince people to come out of the church. You will see that when the two prophets step up and stand on their feet, and we're going to look very deep at that, of course, what the real meaning of that is. But what does it mean to stand? To stand is to declare. What are they declaring? They're declaring judgment has come upon the corporate body and the command to go out. When you see a church that has gone apostate and you come to realize that Satan has taken a seat and that church has gone apostate, the Holy Spirit no longer dwells in it, then you got to leave. You got to depart out. But you also have to declare that you're parting out. You know, you try to make the repair. It's going to end up falling on deaf ears. But in any event, I've talked with many people over the years. Okay, it falls on deaf ears. So let them who are in Judea flee to the mountain. Don't come out down for your housetops. The housetop is the high places. It's also like the mountain. It is a place of prayer. It's a place of communing with God. It's a place of bringing the gospel to others, the housetops. You're not in the temple. You're on the housetop. Don't come down and take any man out of the house. And we also get the idea, another place it says, don't come down and take any clothes out of the house. And the clothes identify with a cover in the corporate body. Don't think that you're going to be able to change things and save that corporate church. You're not going to be able to do it. It's going to be infiltrated with false Christs and false prophets, false teachers, bringing in damnable heresies. And we're going to list some of those soon. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. There's the picture of the clothes. And being in the field, the Lord has told us, the field is the world. You're going out into the world, sowing the seed. So you're in the field, so continue in the field. Don't go back. Just continue in the field. Continue bringing the gospel up. Continue doing the best you can to bring the word to others. And woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days. Okay, woe unto them that are with child. And they're talking about those who are being weaned, you know, given the milk of the word, and hopefully eventually weaned from the breast and drawn from the breast and then be able to eat meat. But that's not going to happen. At this point, they're really eating their children. We'll see. I think we'll see verses about that. I know there are verses about that. And I think when we get into Revelation, we may be drawn to some of them verses. But it talks about them actually devouring the flesh of their own children. Now, that sounds like it's physical, but of course it's not. You know, you're devouring the flesh when you're bringing a false gospel or you're demoralizing your child. You are devouring their flesh. That's the picture. You know, so again, woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days, those who are having the milk of the word in the corporate body that has gone apostate. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter nor in the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, winter and the Sabbath are two time clues. I was going to do a study on the winter. I don't think we've done that yet. But I'm going to wait until we get into the calendar, and then I'm going to pick up on the winter here again. So we'll have a better understanding of what that means. But on the Sabbath day, I did cover that. There's the Jubilee of Jubilees. And we'll look at the calendar on that soon. 1994 is the 50th Jubilee. And anybody who's looked into the Jubilees, and we did talk a little bit about this, but anybody that looks into the Jubilee, it's the time when everybody returns back and stands in their own lot. He returns back home. Okay? Well, everyone's free. Slaves are free. Debts are forgiven. It's a picture of the end of the world. It's a picture of Christ coming. And everybody's standing in their lot for judgment, for salvation. And so that's what the Jubilee is a picture of, okay? And Christ was born on the 10th Jubilee, exactly, the 10th Jubilee. And 40 Jubilees later, 40 Jubilees later, or shall I say 39, when the 40th Jubilee begins, okay, is 1994. So if you have 10 plus 40, that's 50. Now, in a Jubilee, on the 50th year, it's 7 sevens, 49. We're going to be looking at this deeper later on, but it's 7 sevens. So it's 49. The 49 years, 7 sevens, weeks, 7 weeks of seven. And that brings us to 49. And the 50th year is a holy, it's a Sabbath year. Okay? So that's where the picture comes. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. 1994 was the Jubilee of Jubilees. It was the 50th Jubilee. It is the Sabbath Jubilee, a 50-year period. So we are in the Jubilee of Jubilees, and we've been in it since 1994. And we're going to get into more detail on that a little later, and especially when we get into the calendar. Okay, so pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath, for then shall be great tribulation. Now, what do they mean by flight? Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. And this idea of flight is to flee out, come out of her, my people. So when you see a corporate body that was once spiritual, that once had the Holy Spirit in it, the body of Christ, and remember, you know, as long as the church, and we're going to see this picture in great detail when we look at the four beasts in Revelation, As long as the church is bringing forth the true gospel, okay, that means the body of Christ is in it. That means the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is dwelling inside that corporate church and has a rule over it completely. And it's bringing forth a true gospel. And as long as that bringing forth that true gospel, even the unsaved, the corporate part of the, and we're all part of the corporate church during the church age anyway, but the corporate side or the corporate part, especially the unsaved people, they're hearing the gospel. They're very close to the kingdom. They're being sanctified. And they are mimicking the true gospel. They're going to repeat what the body of Christ says. They're repeating it. And by God's will, hopefully, you know, they will become born again. And of course, many do. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. But many of us are called into the church. Many of us are called of God, and some of us do become born again, and some of us don't. And some of us go, you know, disappear, take off, they depart. Okay. Great tribulation, such as was since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, or ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Okay, we're going to see, you know, and there's a lot of talk out there in the length of the Great Tribulation. And I've heard many, many people talking about it. And there's one thing that is correct or true. There's three potential time periods. It could be 70 years long, okay? And that turns out not to really pan out. It could be 23 years long. And that's a pretty strong possibility. And it could be 2,300 days. And a lot of people think that that's it. 6 years and so many days is 2,300 days. We're going to see how all that numbers work out and what the truth of that matter is. But there is an hour of judgment, and we're going to really come to a better understanding of this picture. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. And the flesh brings us right back to a couple of pictures. It brings us back, you know, the Bible speaks of the church spotted by the flesh. So it's got the church is a covering, okay? We're covered by the church. It covers our nakedness, so to speak. It's a clothing. And we're in the corporate body during the church age, and we have that covering. We have that protection of the Lord. We have the bringing forth of the gospel, the preaching of the word. They're being sanctified, and our children are being sanctified, and our spouses are being sanctified, especially if they're not saved, and we have that hope that they'll come to salvation, and so on and so forth. But the flesh, no, there should no flesh be saved. There's a time period when there is silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. I'm going to read about that in Revelation. And that's what's in focus here, the silence in heaven. Well, there are three heavens, and I don't think we looked at the three heavens, and we will look at it when we get a little further if we haven't. But there are three heavens. There's the heaven where God exists, of course, so that's one heaven. There is a heaven above the corporate body or above the church in the sense where the gospel goes forth, okay? There are three heavens, and the other heaven is the heavens above. So we have to look at the context, of course, to see which one of the heavens might be in view. And we're going to do a study on heaven soon, so I'm not going to get too deep into that at the moment. But this is the heaven where the gospel is going forward. It's the heaven that is appreciated probably best in the church off the pulpit. When that preacher is up there or teacher is up there bringing the gospel to the congregation, that's going out into the heavens above the church, and it's falling upon them as the dew or the rain, the latter rain, the earlier rain, being baptized by the sprinkling of the gospel. You see, that's the heaven that's being spoken about. That's the heaven that is in view. Let me see where we're at here. Okay, so except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. So again, there's silence in heaven. This is talking about inside the church. If there's silence, that means the gospel isn't going out. And if people are speaking, then there's a false gospel going out. And we need to be really diligent in our Bibles to identify that, to make sure that we understand what God is talking about here. Because if it were possible, Even the very elect could be, lost. I forget exactly how that puts. Even the very elect. So no flesh should be saved. So because of the, God shortens the, as a blessings to the body of Christ, and that's where he tells us, come out. Come out of her, my people. And there's a period of time when that happens. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partners with her. He's talking about the harlot, the apostate church. Now, the period of time, we're going to get into that later. I'm not going to get into that now. There is a period of time, and we come out. Tribulation continues in the corporate body, even though the body comes out. The body of Christ comes out. Gospel continues to go out into the world. Never really stops. There is silence in heaven about the space of the half hour. That's when the church has gone apostate. Satan has taken a seat, and it takes a while before you start to realize what has taken place and what has happened. Because you have to be looking into your Bibles. And you got to be able to see this by looking into your Bibles. And no one should depart out of any church until they look into their Bibles to make sure that they realize, well, maybe I should leave. That's you have to figure that out, and you have to pray to God for wisdom and understanding and to be able to see these things. But the warnings are clear. It's constant. It's never ending. Since we started this study, it's been nothing but a lot of doom and gloom, a lot of judgment, a lot of talking about apostasy, the silence in the gospel, the candle going out, the lights going out, the sun no longer giving its light, the moon's darkened, the stars of heaven to fall, the stones, the living stones are thrown down, great earthquake. I mean, nothing but trouble, trouble, trouble. So unless those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Come out of it, my people. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert place, the place with no water, there is no gospel. Open up your Bible, take a look. Look at, turn on those TV preachers for a while from time to time and see how waterless they are. There is no water there. There is no gospel. There is no baptizing of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing but, it's just a dry desert place. So, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. And again, that brings us to the secret chambers. Identify with your prayer, where you go to pray, inside your mind and your heart, your relationship. Behold, he's in the mind of that man who's bringing forth, thus saith the Lord, and privately interpreting what's going on in the world. And you know, if you listen to a few of these people, boy, do they contradict each other. Sometimes they look at the same verses, and they'll speak this, and they'll say different things, and then they'll change their mind, and nothing happens, and they'll change their story, and another person saying, so much confusion, so much, much confusion. No line upon line, no precept upon precept, no here a little, no there a little. So, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning coming out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, okay, now let me just step back here. Remember, God tells us we are a cloud of witnesses. Remember, he comes in the clouds. We're the covering. He comes riding a white horse. The body of Christ is identified by a white horse. And he's also coming with many others, the saints, riding white horses, leading. Again, this is a picture of the body of Christ. Behold, he cometh with clouds, or he cometh in the clouds. When the Lord went up into heaven, he was taken up in a cloud. Okay, again, identifying with the believers, the body of Christ. We're actually a covering for Christ in a major way, that the people don't see him. We see him through our hearts and through the Word, but the people don't see him unless they see him through us, until eventually they are able to look into their Bibles and look into the eyes of God by looking into the Word of God and finding mercy in the eyes of God. And so anybody who has become saved has looked into his Word and has found mercy in the eyes of God. Okay, so anyway, this idea of clouds is a big picture of body of believers. So, you know, behold, he cometh with clouds, And that is bringing the gospel throughout, ultimately, the whole New Testament era. But there is the end of the world where all of a sudden, even though God speaks to the clouds, now he's on a white horse. And there are many horsemen, and we're coming to, the ends of the world, Armageddon. And remember, Armageddon takes place ultimately in the heart. Okay, I don't see anybody's hands up, so we'll continue. Armageddon is in the heart. Each one of us is battling in Armageddon, so to speak, in the sense as we're becoming born again, particularly, and we're crucifying the flesh. So there's the real spiritual battle for all of us. But then there's the spiritual battle out in the world, of course. And then there's the end of the world battle, which God refers to as Armageddon. We'll get into those details when we get into the book of Revelation. So also shall come the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, remember the carcass is the dead bodies, it's the dead churches. Wherever the carcass is, wherever the dead corporate body is, wherever the apostate church is, that's where the false prophets will be. That's where the eagles, that's where the fowls will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Okay, immediately after, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Now, it as you read through, I know I was confused for quite some time trying to figure this out. There were many people I know studying this and trying to figure this out, because there appears to be two tribulations, two great tribulations, but there's really only one. But you see, God takes us out halfway through that great tribulation. We're no longer bound to that corporate body, and we're bringing the gospel without a corporate body. And that's the picture, I think, that might be in view here, is immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his messengers with a great sound of the trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heavens to the other. Now, this covers a great deal of time. God is giving us a picture of a great, great long period of time in one paragraph. And the whole focus is ending up universality, the number four, the four winds. We're going to see about the four winds being held back by the four angels, bringing forth, really, ultimately, Judgment Day itself is what's in view. And so this is something that is universal. This is not something that's just in any corporate church. This is something that's worldwide now. It's the time coming to the end. I perceive at some point the last person will be saved, and that's, of course, is when the complete darkness is upon the world and the Lord returns. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. And again, the fig tree is the sign. When his branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Truly I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, in Mark chapter 32, verse 28, it adds, neither the Son. Okay? Now, I know I've struggled a little bit with this, and I know a lot of people have been struggling with this, and I know I've come to a conclusion on it. It cannot be the Son of God being Christ himself. God is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning of the end. In Christ Jesus dwelleth the Godhead bodily. He who has seen me has seen the Father. I am the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the Alpha and Omega. So the Son knows the beginning from the end. Okay, so it cannot be him. But we too are sons of God. We've been brought in by adoption. We're able to cry out, Abba, Papa, Father. Okay, so that's the Son that is in view in Mark 32. I'm convinced of that. Matthew 24, continuing 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the door was shut, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And believe me, you got to think about that day. 40 days and 40 nights it rains. It's a period of time the rain's coming. And, people see it. Okay, we got a big storm. Boy, it's a lot of rain out there, but it doesn't seem to end. The next day goes through the night. It's still raining. It's pouring. We've got a couple inches of water out there, maybe a foot. And the next day, we got 10 foot of wood moving up to high grounds. And so there's a period of time. Judgment is coming upon the world. And the fear. We're going to read it as the hearts of men fail for fear of that which is coming upon the earth. Whatever that is, I don't know. I can only speculate because God doesn't tell us. So something big is going to come upon the earth, and men's hearts will fail for fear of looking after those things. Okay, so marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be left, taken and the other left. Two at the grinding mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Again, the gospel is going out right up until the last moment. And the field, God tells us, is the world. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I know I've been back and forth on this, and I think I concluded before that I think I'm back to the morning watch, though, because the morning watch is when the Lord comes. We're in the morning watch, by the way. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made him ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom when his Lord cometh shall find so doing. Truly I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. And I'll tell you what, it may be a big thing, because this world war we're heading for is not going to be a world war and blown up completely. It's going to be snuffed out quite quickly. No doubt in my mind about that. When that happens and all these teachers are teaching all this destruction and the Armageddon and everything, you know, that might be a time when they may say, well, maybe we made a mistake here. He's delaying his coming by saying, you know, well, it's not yet. It's not happening yet. I don't know what that's going to be or what that means, but it's just a thought. Okay. Trying to remember where I'm looking at here. See, Lord says to the Lord, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day that he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him the portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, and that kind of brings us to the end of Matthew 24. I think I'm going to look at this here before we look into the calendar. Because once I get into the calendar, we'll start the next Bible study with the calendar. And there's a lot to look at in different studies, and it's going to be just the tip of the iceberg, because when we get into Revelation, we're really going to get into that calendar. Every focus of every point of every date is mind-blowing, in my opinion. Okay, but let's look at this that I put out. How come that's going? Oh, hit the wrong button. Hang on. All right, there is a way. I'm going to read through this. I don't think I'm going to make much commentary. Maybe I'll make a little bit. We got about 6 minutes. It's going to take more than that, so we'll probably run 5 or 10 minutes over today, because I do want to start in the calendar next tomorrow. Okay, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Proverbs chapter 14. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and the stranger doeth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, a lot of people think a lot of things. They create the image of God. They make that molten image in their brain, in their mind, in their heart, and they form their own God, a God that they can live with, a God that's comfortable for them. And it is a way that seemeth right unto the man, unto a man. I'm a good person. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I do. And then they go their way, but really, they're not digging in the Word. They're not, seeking out the will of God, we need to have an earnest, ongoing desire to learn and do the will of God. And until you come to that point, maybe God's working on you, but it's hard to see any evidence of salvation. You need to be into the Word. And we sanctify our children by preaching to them the Word, to teaching them the Word, sharing with our spouses and our loved ones. We're sanctifying them. And they too very well may be born again. Babies are born again in the womb. John the Baptist leaped for joy. That's a picture of salvation. In the womb, 6 months, 3 months prior to his birth. He leaped in the womb when Mary spoke and said the gospel about the child being in her, meaning Jesus Christ, and the baby leaped. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and his heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. All this is the language of judgment. Salt, the wilderness, a place where no gospel, a wilderness, salt, the judgment of God is upon it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope in the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, the gospel, that spreadeth out her roots by the river of life, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, bringing forth, when a leaf is green, obviously there's plenty of water, there's plenty of sunshine, there's the light of the gospel, there's the water of the gospel, and in the tree, of course, you see the picture of the xylem, which brings forth the water and the chlorophyll and all that taking place, and you have a green leaf. And shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. Now, this is an interesting picture. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins. And the reins is what controls, the chariot, the horse. It's the bridle, okay? They're steering it to the right, steering it to the left. Well, I try that. Whoever's pulling on the reins of your heart, and which, if you're unsaved, it's Satan, ultimately. We may see it as ourselves, living it our way. Nevertheless, you're still brought back into the kingdom of Satan. Okay, so I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. Proverbs chapter 16, and the repeating of the same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth, laboreth for himself. For the mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning, is as a burning fire. A forward man soweth strife in the whispers of separate chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the ways that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devices, froward things. Moving his lips, he brings evil to pass. That's very powerful. He that laboreth for himself. None of us labor to get into the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing we can do of ourselves to achieve salvation. We're lost, all of us lost, and we must be found. It's God that does the work, and any good that we do, it's because he makes us the will and to do of his good pleasure. He puts it and presses it forward. So we don't do that of ourselves, and it's the work of God. It's what he done on the cross. He paid the price. We didn't even pay just a little bit. No, we paid nothing for our salvation. It's all on him. And you'll find many gospels who will add a little bit of something. Well, I decided to choose Christ. You didn't decide to choose anything. Christ chose you. I was lost and then I was found. That's the gospel. A lot of people don't want to hear it, and therein is a false gospel. You build your gospel upon that gospel, you got another Jesus. You got another gospel. You got a gospel with a molten image. You've created an image of God out of your own mind. It has nothing to do with God's word. Let's see where we're at. 1 Timothy 1. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do. Which is in faith, so do. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with divers, that's various and strange doctrines. Word divers means various. So be not be carried away with various and strange doctrines. They do not know that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, and dead. Synagogues of Satan that say they are Jews or Christians. And remember, you know, we are Jews. He is not a Jew, which is a Jew outwardly, where circumcision is that of the flesh. He is a Jew that is a Jew inwardly, where circumcision is that of the heart. And we have been circumcised of the heart. The fleshly has been cut away, and we have the spiritual. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Christ dwelling in our heart. We are seated with him. Where? When we become saved, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Well, where is that? That's in the heart, ruling and reigning with Christ. What are we ruling and reigning on? We're ruling and reigning on our own flesh, bringing it into subjection, crucifying the flesh, growing in the Spirit, growing in the knowledge, and, of course, bringing it out into the world. Lukewarm gospels that teach Jesus loves you, all is well, no worries, a repentless gospel. A saltless gospel, no preaching of the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We are commanded. It's not an idea, it's not a nice thing to do, it's not something we should do occasionally. No, we are commanded. You're going to bring the gospel, you bring the whole gospel. You got to bring a salted gospel. Nothing, you bring no gospel without the salt. You must always bring the salt. And the salt is the judgment. What are you being saved from? You know, I see places where people, they're always all these joy things. I often wonder what's really going on in their hearts, because I know what it was when I was unsaved. But, you know, what's going on in their hearts? Well, they put out an appearance. There appears to be something. Oh, we're so happy. Oh, Jesus loves you. Oh, I'm just saved. But there's no fruit. There's no growth. As Paul said unto Peter, concerning those individuals that Peter brought into the church that were pushing forward that men must be circumcised, and Paul met with them, and he came to Peter, he says, I met with them, they added nothing unto me. You should have known better, Peter. They're bringing in these false doctrines. You're putting burdens upon men. God is not requiring that. And they're coming in to spy out our liberty, okay? They were the enemies of Christ, but yet they were Jews, but they were coming into the Christian church, bringing in different doctrines of men and not of God. And that's what we have. Saltless gospels, private interpretation gospels, work gospels, cardinally minded gospels, gospels that teach God makes the offer and you have to choose. Gospels that teach once saved, you sin no more. Let me tell you, you know, you got to confess that you're a sinner. At the end of the day, I got a lot to review with God. More often than not, throughout the day, I'm reviewing it with God, crucifying the flesh, repenting the moment the thought comes in brain into my mind. Because that's what a child of God does. Gospels that do not teach we are at war, spirit against the flesh, repenting and crucifying. Get rich gospels, signs and wonders gospels, women pastors and teachers gospels, dreams and visions and tongues gospels. Gospels more concerned with membership than the gospel itself. You know, some of these big churches, you go sit down in one of these big churches from time to time just to see what's going on. Bring your Bible, listen in, and see what's going on, what they're really talking about. But one of the things you will notice is everything's okay. All is well. Happiness. Yeah, we're good. We're saved. Jesus loves you. Don't worry about it. There's a country club. More concerned with membership. Those churches, I've heard of churches where thousands of people, these big, you know, I've seen things on TV that look like stadiums sometimes. And you get all these people in there. Well, that's a pretty popular gospel. You bring in the salt, and believe me, you won't be able to fill even the front rows. because people don't want to hear it. They don't want, they can't live life with that. How can they do that? Non-offensive gospels, country gulf gospels, gospels that teach cunning devised fables, fictions, gospels that add or take away from the Word of God. You know, I was talking to my wife, she was talking to some people, and these people were talking about the Bible, and they said, ah, Paul, you know, we don't think Paul. Well, Paul wrote most of the epistles to begin with, so there's a lot of Bible to remove if you're going to remove Paul, okay? And then there are other problems, and, you know, they didn't even know that Mark and Luke, they didn't know Christ physically, literally, at that time. They came later, okay? Yet Mark and Luke wrote the two of the Gospels. Well, how can he write two of the Gospels? They're pretty darn almost alike with the other two Gospels, you know, as far as being consistent and telling the same stories, adding to or saying a little less, giving it from a different perspective. Well, it's very simple because, you know, Mark didn't write the Gospel. He may append it, but he didn't write it. Luke didn't write the Gospel. Matthew didn't write the Gospel. John didn't write the Gospel. Yeah, they penned the Gospel. But holy men of old, these are holy men, were moved and wrote as God the Holy Spirit moved them. They wrote, God dictated the Gospel to them. They wrote that way. You know, we have that picture that we put up at the beginning of our program, which I guess I closed. Let me just open it up. We're very close to our end, so a few more minutes. Let's see. Okay, this picture here, a picture of John looking up into the clouds and penning the Word of God. Holy men of old spake or wrote as God the Holy Spirit moved them. It's God, every word. There is no mistakes in the Bible. There may be a mistake in translation, and we can correct those. I do it from time to time. I find an error in translation. Very easy to do. Go get yourself a concordance. The two of the best is Strong's and Young's. Young's, I think, is the better of the two. But Strong's pretty much, I haven't never found an electronic Strong's concordance, but I do have an electronic Young's concordance. I do have a Strong's, but I also have the physical book, and from time to time I go back and refer to it because it gives a lot of good insight on the meaning of these Greek words and the meaning of these Hebrew words and different interpretations, how many times it was used, where it was used, how God used. Oh, it's just so powerful. True Bible study is done with concordances. Okay, Country Globe Castle, where am I at? Gospels that add or take away from the Word. Okay, as I was saying, my wife was talking, we were talking together about this, and they've got so much to remove. You know, there are other things that didn't, you know, they haven't found out yet that Mark is not, didn't know Jesus personally. You know, he came later after the crucifixion and death, burial and resurrection. And once they find that out, are they going to remove Mark also? You know, why would they think Paul was not the 13th apostle, one of the apostles? Why wouldn't they think that? Peter and Paul worked together. They talked together. They agreed, Peter, you go to the Jews. Paul, you go to the Gentiles. And he went to the seven churches. He developed that whole thing. And it lays out in Revelation, written by John, divine, that about the seven churches that Paul was feeding throughout the epistles. You know, again, you know, you want to know the truth. It's harmony, 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 harmony. When harmony breaks, you got an error. You got to go back and look to fix it. If you ignore it, you got a problem because you're only building on a false foundation. I think I mentioned this before. I read the books of Maccabee 1 and Maccabee 2. I read the Book of Wisdom. And those are all supposed to be part of the Bible. It's in the Catholic Church Bible. It's in the Catholic Bible. That's where I found it. And I was interested in that because I was speaking with a guy who kept talking about that. And, you know, it didn't seem harmonious and, you know, it didn't seem to work with what I know in the Bible. So I went and read those books. And I'll tell you what, it failed immediately. Within the first chapters, it failed. Consistency, line upon line, wasn't there. The meanings of words, if you try to understand the spirit, look for the spiritual pictures, you couldn't find it. It was just combobulated. It was all over the place. So I know it wasn't the Word of God. That wasn't the voice of my Father. That was someone else. That was the devil. Okay, Gospels, let's see. Gospels that add or take away. Gospels that require water baptism to be saved. Gospels using watered-down Bibles that lose spiritual knowledge altogether. You know, these Bibles that you can no longer connect and bring back through a concordance to go down to look at the original Greek and Hebrew, you know, you can't get to the nuts and bolts. And there's no consistency because they destroyed the spiritual message. Once they watered down to make it simpler for someone to understand, they start off with, we've got to remove the these and the thous, okay? And that's fine if you do that. But then it escalated from there. Okay, and you got Bibles when you read it. There's the spirit. You don't get the spiritual picture. You can't see what we're talking about here. You can't interpret the book of Revelation. You can't understand the deep spiritual things of God because they're watered down. They changed the words. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, we're all saved in the same way. We're saved by grace. God does all the work. He did it on the cross. It's done. We have nothing to add to that. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us. So the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Remember when he opened the earth up and it swallowed them? And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their inhabitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the chief messenger, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water. We are clouds with water, with the gospel, with the baptism, with the rain, the latter rain, the earlier rain. But these are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, trees whose fruits withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. You know, God gives us pictures of stars being the believers, bringing the light of the gospel. These are false prophets, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of the saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak in great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, being building up yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some having compassion making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, out of the judgment, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's the fleshly veil that we have. This is our fleshly body on the one hand, but the bigger spiritual picture is that fleshly veil of the corporate body and the fire of judgment upon it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only one wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. A couple more verses and we'll be ending. 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having the itch in ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. And God spake, this is Genesis chapter 8, and God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be faithful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his son's wife with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast, and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done, while the earth remaineth, and this is key, while the earth remaineth, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, and day and night shall not cease. So all these things that people talk about, it's all made up. Well, I can see them concerned with certain things, but nevertheless, God says right up to the end, everything will be well. We'll be eaten and marrying and given in marriage. Okay, Thessalonians, I'm not sure what this is first or second, but Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me see how much more we're going to look at. I know we're running late, but I do want to finish this, so we can move into the calendar tomorrow. So let me go through this. Thessalonians, I'm not sure. I think this is 1 Thessalonians 5. But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction cometh upon them as prevail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not of darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplates of the faith and of love, and for a helmet the hope of our salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you, that by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with his brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, or who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which loveth us and hath given us everlasting consolations and good hope through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. And I think this is the last one, Isaiah. Yep. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1. And in here is hidden the truth of the fact that before God comes, he's going to judge nations. And we're about ready to see that. We're moving into that time period. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them on his own land, and the stranger shall join with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob, and the people shall take them and bring them to the place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captive, whose captive they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. Now, I just want to make a note here. Jacob is a picture of the corporate church. Jacob is a picture of a corporate body that is obviously about to become a son of God, because we see the picture of Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and that's the picture that God has given, and set them in their own land and so on. And the strangers that join themselves together with them, we're going to get into that maybe at another time to get into more detail. After we finish Revelation, maybe we'll get into more detail in Isaiah 14. But let's just continue on. And it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrows and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou hast been made to serve. This is the coming to the judgments of the nations. And at the end of the judgments of nations, men's going to say peace and safety at last. And this is what God is talking about here in Isaiah 14. Let me see where I'm at. Rest. So you're going to have rest from your sorrows and from your fear. You know, we've been captive. All of our lives we've been captive by the prince of darkness, to the New World Order, ultimately, through our governments and being controlled. And they're building their evil cities throughout the world. Thou shalt take up this... It shall come to pass in that day the Lord shall give rest from thy sorrow, from thy fear, from thy hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and that's Satan, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? And remember, the kingdom of Satan is pictured in Leviathan, and Leviathan is the beast of the sea. You know, he's a sea creature, a sea monster. We'll read about him in Revelation, seven heads and ten horns coming up out of the sea. But the picture of Leviathan, which that's the picture of Leviathan or the harlot, in numerous ways the dragon, you know, the sea monster, generally speaking, Leviathan. And the picture of Leviathan is the body of Satan. It's people. It's man. It's mankind. But these are the people that even offer up things to Satan. These are the people that rule the world and have been ruling it for a long, long time. And that's what's in view there, but this is what's in view here in Isaiah 14. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, Satan, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. Well, it's the golden city. Well, that just seems to identify with the corporate church. Ultimately, it really is the body of Christ, but the corporate church. And who is the oppressor ceased? The Satan has ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He hath smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that rules the nation in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth in singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedar of Lebanon, saying, since thou hast laid down, no fella is come up against us. And the word fella identifies with an individual to take down trees. They're a fella. They fell a tree. And, you know, they're given pictures of trees, and trees are pictures of men in the Bible and different nations and so on. So no fella has come up against us to chop us down anymore. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised them up, their thrones, all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, and the worms is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. And here's the key. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, above the body of Christ. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Now, this word narrowly is identifying with judgment and judging. It's a picture of a courtroom. It's God's courtroom, God judging Leviathan. And people will see that. They see that narrowly look upon these people. Is these the men that did it? You know, when we discover who the guilty is. And again, it's the kingdom of Satan being taken out before the Lord comes. Is this the man that hath made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? And remember, the number of the beast is the number of man, mankind, not a man. The word a is not there. If you look at it, well, I'll tell you what, a lot of Bibles have removed the italicizing of the word a, and I don't know why. That word a should be italicized, which means it's not really there. Okay, someone put it there to help give a better meaning, they felt it might help. It should have been, this is the number of man. And the number of man in the Greek is mankind. This is the number of mankind. This is not the body of Christ, this is mankind, that being part of the body of Satan and not of Christ. So is this the man? Let me see where we're at here. Okay, they that shall see thee shall narrowly look at you, as in a place of a courtroom, and nations will be judged. You are going to be watching that. And consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Remember, we spoke about being a prisoner, especially in a false gospel, you're being imprisoned by Satan. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of the grave like an abominable branch. There is a branch. There is no burial. You know, to be buried, being born again is a picture of being buried with Christ. The old man is put off, buried with Christ, and the new man is risen, a heart, given a new heart, created in me a new heart, O Lord, renew a right spirit in me, we're born again. Okay? But here is a picture, there is no burial here. And I think when we get in Revelation, we're going to look a little more on that picture of burial. But anyway, there is no burial here. He's not buried with Christ in his, you know, for salvation. Because thou hast destroyed the land and slain the people, the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities, their evil cities, their dark cities. And Satan's been doing that for a long time. Look out into the world, see what's going on. For I will raise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant, the son and the nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bitten and the pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom, which is the broom, a broom of destruction. The word Bissam, which I'm not sure of the pronunciation, I think it's Bissam. That's actually a word, broom, in the Hebrew. So I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, that brings us to the end of that. And tomorrow when we pick back up, we're going to start looking at the calendar. There's a lot to look at. We're going to take some brief looks at certain pictures, and then a lot of it's going to come together as we're looking into Revelation, because we're going to be referring back to that calendar constantly, trying to figure out where we are in time, what's going on, when is the beginning of sorrows, when does the great tribulation begin, when is the calling out, come out from my people. And I'm sorry, before we do that, we're actually going to look at Matthew 25, which will go very quickly because it's a picture of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, and in the midnight the cry goes out. It gives us a time, sort of a pointing on a period of time. It helps us to understand when that's going to happen. And so we'll see all those things. And then at that point, after 25, which we should be able to get to the calendar, because there's not going to be much to interpret here in Matthew 25. After going through what we've gone through, I think when we read through Matthew 25, it's going to become quite clear quite quickly all the deep meanings that's going on in here. Okay, with that, sorry we went over so long. We're almost a half hour, or just about a half hour. Well, yeah, about a half hour over. But see you tomorrow, Lord willing, and we'll pick it up for that. Thanks for coming. Good night.